Good morning, people. Today's daf is daf tes in Shabbos. We're reaching a milestone, a small marker in the Masechta, but we're today going to finish up the topic of Otsah. Not because we're really finishing it. We're going to come back later on in the Masechta, about 90 days from now. 3 months from now, we're going to revisit the whole topic of Otsah. Not that it won't come up again between now and then. In fact, it will come up many times. When we get to the Perek, known as Perek HaZorek, which is on Daf Tzadivav, that's 96. So we come back to the topic of Otsah. We discussed it once again with more detail, with more precision. However, the introduction to Shabbos involves the Melach of Otsah, and we are finishing up the first part of Otsah, Otsah Part 1, if you will. It all started on a Braisa. The Braisa was back on Daf Vav and Aleph. And the Braisa gave us the very basics of the Melach of Otsah. The Braisa introduced us to the idea that there are Dal Rishios. There are four different domains on Shabbos: Rishos Yachid, Rishos Harabim, Karmelis, and Amakom Patur. And then the Braisa gave us a number of scenarios in which one would be Chayv, one would be Patur. And what we're doing over the past couple of days, including today, is we're going through every point of the Braisa and try to tease out every Chiddush that we can find in the Braisa. We're on Ches Amud Beis, and we are towards the middle of the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda. Okay, a quick halacha. Two lines of halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hazirza, Dekani, Rama Vizakfe, Rama Vizakfe, Lomechayev Ad Akarle.
Can we stop it below
Tema? I think we finished the Shema Minam. I think that's as far as we got yesterday. I think so. So Rav Yehuda says that if you have zirza, if you have a pile of sticks, and zirza dekane, right, a bundle of sticks, and what I did is the following. Okay, so my tie is going to be in a terrible illustration of what the Gemara is trying to present over here, but I basically did like this. I never picked up the pile of sticks and moved it from one domain to another domain. What I did is I picked it up, and I
rolled it.
Now, I'm not going to say the word rolled it. And I think there's a distinction between what the Gemara here is trying to suggest versus rolling. And now I picked it up again and I dropped it. And I picked it up again and I dropped it. So he says that if you keep doing that, lo mechayev ad akarle, you're not going to be chayev until you actually pick it up.
Constant.
Now what seems to be going on over here, it's two short lines of halacha. The Gemara does not comment on this. The Gemara does not give any more elaboration. But what seems to be going on over here is the following. And Rashi certainly seems to suggest this as well. In fact, you can see Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. Rashi is the second wide line. Rama Vizakve, Rama Vizakve, Holichu Amos Harbe, Birushos Harabim. You did this for many Amos, meaning you just kept going over itself and over itself and over itself. But this would have been better. Yeah, okay, fine, good. So in other words, so now I pick it up and I just keep going like that. So keinyan hazeh shelo not lukulo min hakarka ela zakva v'yishlichu v'chaz v'zakva v'yishlichu ein ze akira. So the way that Rashi explains it is I never did an akira. Now, it's almost fair to say midra rabbanan, you shouldn't do this, although the Gemara doesn't say that, but he never did an akira, he never picked it up. As we know, we've done this from day one of Hotza'ah. Hotza requires an akira and it requires a hanacha. You have to pick something up and you have to put it down. So when I don't pick it up and I just simply go and somehow get it to move without actually picking the item up, so then I would be potter. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Although, again, Rava doesn't mention a word of this. Not Rava, Rav Yehuda. What if I took an item and I just simply dragged the item?
And you scrape the
ground. I would presume that you'd be chayv in that situation. Right. Meaning there's something specific to the action of Rama Vizakfe, picking something up and putting it down, where, and it's not a good visual, but there doesn't seem to be a point in time where there was always some stagnant contact between the item and the ground. As opposed to when I drag the whole thing, so the whole thing now becomes a motion. So I don't think over here the issue is that you didn't pick it up. I think the issue is simply that there was no, the totality of the item was not moved simultaneously. If I communicate that idea well, Amar Mar. We go back to the Braisa now, and part of the Braisa which we have not yet explored.
Excuse me, Rabbi. It's the same thing we said before. If you don't take the whole thing in,
right? Correct. 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 In other words, right. And the Hanacha requires the entire item to be Munach. Yeah. In other words, it has to be the totality of the item. Yeah.
That's why dragging is it would be a
tight. Right. Correct. Agreed. Dragging the item would be different. What about? Really, we have to move on. What about rolling an item?
What would it be different than?
Because it's the same thing. There's no total separation of the item from the ground.
But I don't think it's I don't think separation of the item from the ground is a critical issue. I think because if I drag it, it's still connected to the ground.
You're going to make an indentation, and you're going to make an indentation.
Dragging is considered.
Rolling.
Look, I like the discussion. I don't know.
Rolling would be the same as standing. Because
There's always a connector. There's always a stationary connector to the ground. Amar Mar Adamo Medali Skufa Notel Mi Balabais Venosin Lo Notel Mi Anim Venosin Lo. You're standing on the threshold of the house. Now, right, the old classic houses with that big porch in the front of it, like, that's the kind of thought that you should be thinking about right now. Meaning that nowadays our houses, you know, they're nice houses, but we don't have that old-fashioned porch, you know, from the from Gone with the Wind genre, if you understand. So the Gemara over here talks about the Yiskufa. So you could stand on the Yiskufa on the threshold of the house, and you could take something from the Balabais and you can give it back to him. You could take something from the poor person and you can give it back to the poor person. So it only begs the question: What's the Yiskufa? Meaning, give me the dimensions of this threshold. Is it a Rishos Yachid? Is it a Rishos Rabbin? And the Gemara goes through the obvious rejections. Mm-hmm. So if the Iskufa is part of the Rishos Rabbin, so you can't take it from the homeowner. Homeowner is sitting in his Rishos Yachid. That's a transfer from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabbin. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's do it the other way. So let's suggest that this threshold is part of the house, and therefore it rishos harabim. Sorry, rishos hayachid. So the Gemara says that can't be because no tamanani, because the Braisa also says you can, while standing on the Yiskufa, take something from the poor person. Hakamal rishos harabim, rishos hayachid. So you realize that this Yiskufa can't be rishos harabim, and it can't be rishos hayachid. So what is it? And don't say it's a karmelis because it's rabbinically prohibited to transfer from a karmelis to either a rishos yachid or a rishos rabbin. So you're struck out on both ends if it's a karmelis. So it's very simple now. Process of elimination. It's a great way to get to your answer. It's not a rishos yachid. It's not a rishos rabbin. It can't be a karmelis. So you know what the next line of the Gemara is going to say. Eli Skufa Karmelis, I'm sorry, first the Gemara says Karmelis. We have to reject all three. Note of an Osan Lechatchila, Sof Sof, Yisura Mia Isa, that's an Isra. Eli Skufa Makom Pater Ba'almahu. Okay, so you know what the Skufa is? It's got to be a Makom Pater. This is a tiny threshold. This is a threshold that is less than 4x4 Tfachim. 4x4 Tfachim. So it's a tiny threshold. Could go into Leis Bei Dalar Al Dalan. V'chihad achiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Makom Shem Bo Dalar Al Dal Tfachim Mutal Levnei Rishos Yachid V'levnei Rishos Rav Lechatef Alav. In fact, once you have a Makom Pater, that's what it is. It's nothing. It's not a Rishos Rav. It's not a Rishos Yachid. It is not. It's not a Karmelis. So it's nothing.
So what's the
chiddush?
So a big porch with a roof over?
Uvavad, just wait, give me a moment. Uvavad shelo yachalifu. Now, but the only thing you really can't do, says Rav Dimi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, is that you can't make the full transfer. Meaning, look, makom pater is nothing. So if I want to transfer from a rishos yachad to a makom pater, that's fine. If I want to transfer from a rishos harabim to a makom pater, that's fine. So in other words, what you could really do is, you could launder. Not the best analogy, but it's not the best analogy. But basically, now we can legally devise a way to transfer from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabbin. Meaning that's an Isur D'oraisa. But once I make a stop over at the Makom Pater, now that's it. Meaning that there was no infraction, not even rabbinic, to transfer from Rishos Yachid to the Makom Pater. Neither was there an infraction to transfer from the Makom Pater to the Rishos Rabbin. So then I'll just simply go, okay, so we'll make two moves now. One, two. And in those two moves now, I've just transferred from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah that you can't do.
How long you have to wait?
And the reason why you can't, right, correct, meaning... right. And the reason why you can't do that, I think, is self-evident, because once you start playing those games, so then the next conclusion is, well, why do I need the Makom Patur? What does the Makom Patur help me? And without the sophistication, you're just simply going to transfer from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So that you can't do. But short of that, that's fine. You want to transfer from Rosh Hashanah to a Makom Patur, that's fine. There's not even an Issur D'Rabbanan. Amar, Uvavacha lo yitol me balabayas v'nosan la'ani, u'me'ani v'nosan la'balabayas, v'imnatov v'nosan shoshtam peturim. Lamentav v'tiyufta derava. Now, if it happened, now we already established you shouldn't do it, but if it happened, if you did that two-step transfer, from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the Makom Patur, from the Makom Patur then to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, everyone's safe. Right. Safe, meaning you should not have done that. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan to have done that. You want to throw out a term, Maris Ayin, however you want to say it. You should not do it. But if you did it, everyone's going to be Pater. Now, the Gemara says this seems to contradict Rava, because Rava says, Amar Rava, Amavir Chefetz Mitchil Dalat Sot Lasov Dalat Bereshus Rabim, Afa Pi Sheheviro Derech Alav Chayev. Rava makes the following proclamation. Let's say I take something 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And what I do is as follows. And I go exactly 4 amos, which is the amount that you have to go in order to transfer. And I take the item, and not only do I transfer it 4 amos, but derech alav, I bring it over my head. Now 4 amos is a 6 feet total distance. It's not a lot, 6 to 8 feet. But what I do is I take it and I bring it over my head. Now, what's the big deal? I'll take it over your head. Who cares? Once I take it over my head, the item, even though I'm holding it, is above the 10 tefach ceiling. We've spoken about this numerous times. The Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has a 10 tefach ceiling. So what I've done is I've lifted the item up off the floor. I've now brought it over. Let's assume this desk over here is the 10 tefach ceiling. I brought it over. Now it's in the Makom Patur. And I continue to bring it over, and I put it back down now on the floor over here. And Rava says, you're chayev. You have just transferred 4 amos in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore you're chayev, even though the item went through a Makom Patur. So what the Gemara now is challenging, and I think we all intuitively already know the answer, but what the Gemara now is challenging is that, wait a second, you see that going through a Makom Patur does not remove any liability. You're still going to be chayev. So here too, if I went Rosh Hashanah to Makom Patur, then from Makom Patur to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so essentially now sum total is I went from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore I should be chayev, even though there was a layover at the Makom Patur. The Gemara's answer, let's just say it quickly, Hasam lo nach, hacha nach. Simple answer. Right. When I, in our discussion, in the Braisa discussion, we stopped at the Makom Patur. So once you stop at the Makom Patur, so now I no longer look at the next stop. Meaning right now, what happened? I went from Rosh Hashanah to Makom Patur. We've stopped. That's now Akira and now Hanacha. Now I take it from the Makom Patur to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's a totally new story. Now when I put the pieces together, I see that I went from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Great, but in other words, meantime, however, that may be the sum total of what happened, but I cannot take away from the fact that it was really two actions and two different transfers. When I'm in Rava's case, when I'm taking the item and I'm bringing it over my head, it's going through the Makom Patur, but okay, that's not a stop, that's not a hanacha. Okay. All right. Not the first time, by the way, and Tosos makes this point on the previous summit, not the first time that we're talking about having this discussion of going from a Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim through a different domain, right? The Gemara back on Daf Hey already brought that up. And Tosos on the bottom of the previous summit discusses why didn't that come into play over here. Acher moment. Okay, the most challenging part of today's Daf, if I may say, is coming up right now. We are now at the final parts of the Braisa. If you want to take a look back on Daf Vav and Aleph, we've gone through almost every part of the Braisa. The Dal Rishuyos, the definitions of each one of the Rishuyos, the threshold, you're not allowed to transfer from the Rishus Yachid to the threshold, to the Rishus Rabim. And now, we are at the last two halachas mentioned in the Braisa. Acherim Omrim. Now, or is it the last one? All right. Acherim Omrim Iskufa Mishameshes Beis Rishuyos. We're still back at the threshold. We're describing the threshold. It serves as two different Rishuyos, meaning, now this position of Acherim is talking not about the threshold that we just spoke about, as it was earlier discussed on Makom Patur. This is now a different type of threshold. Every time we have a discussion about a threshold, you have to understand, meaning we don't know what the dimensions are. It's a variable. So every time that we talk about a threshold, we have to start anew and ask the question, well, what dimensions of the threshold are we talking about? What is it? Because it could be a Rishus Yachid, it could be a Karmelis, it could be Rishus Rabim, or as we just discussed, it could be a Makom Patur. So now in this threshold, the Braisa says the following, that it can be somewhat duplicitous. Not duplicitous, but it could be, it could take on two different identities. Bizman Shapasa Pasuch, when the doorway is open, it's Kelefnim. It's like the inside. And Pesach Na'ul Kelachutz. But if the door is closed, then the threshold is going to behave like, it's going to identify itself with the outside.
This is the Eskufa that's inside the house, not the little...
It's a threshold.
Threshold, just like when you open a door.
Yeah. But this is where the door is.
To say it's inside the house versus outside the house
Is it's in the doorway. The other Eskufa was a little bit outside the doorway, or there was maybe no door.
Well, this is the doorway.
Right.
The Eskufa, in this case, is the doorway. All right, so let's see the Gemara inside. Why are we discussing when the Gemara is about to discuss? Baruch Atah Hashem Shalom Shalom.
Amen.
Acherim Omrim Iskufa Mishamesh Shtei Rishus Bizman. I'm sorry, I read this already. Shapesa Pasach Melech Kelfim Pasach No Kelechutz. Now the Alfag of the Leisle Lachi. Now the Gemara over here uses the word Lachi, which immediately should do the following for all of us. When you say the word Lachi, now you have to start talking about Mavoi. Meaning, right now the Gemara is assuming. I don't know why the Gemara jumped to this assumption, but it did, is that we're talking about a good old-fashioned mavui. You know how mavuis work? A mavui translates poorly as an alleyway. Okay, alleyway is not the best translation, but it's the one that is always used. And it usually spills out into Rishus HaRabim. So here's our Rishus HaRabim, and this is our mavui. Now, when we talk about mavui over here, let's talk about a mavui sasum. It's a closed mavui, which means that it's bracketed three walls. And by the way, there are entrances over here into the Mavui, so there's traffic going into the Mavui, and eventually the Mavui will spill out into the Rishus Rabim, into the public domain.
This is an above view.
This is an above view.
Okay.
I'm glad you clarified. If I wasn't clear about that, now let's be clear about it. This is an above view. Okay, now, this is going to be day one of Erevin, but it's now day nine, or day eight, if you will, of Shabbos. So the Mavui is a Rishus Yachid. It really is a private domain. Let's count. 1, 2, 3 walls. So it is a private domain. Being that it's a private domain, so really I could carry in the Mavui. The Chachamim said, really, slow down. Take it easy. Because it opens up, it spills open to Rishus HaRabim. And so we don't really have any marker over here telling the world, this is where the Rishus Yachid ends, this is where the Rishus HaRabim begins. And so the Chachamim said, you want to carry in the Mavui? You have to do one of two things. Either you put a vertical pole on the side, a vertical post on the side, right? We're really like, this is day one of Erevin. Or what you do now, by the way, this is a top view, so you understand there's a pole?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or what you do is you take a beam, and you put a beam over the top of the Mavui. Those are one of two ways of, quote-unquote, correcting the Mavui. Not correcting the Mavui, you're just making
defining
it so that
it.
you can carry inside the Mavui. Now the Gemara over here is now assuming that we're talking about this Mavui Sosum, and now we're talking about a threshold. Now, a threshold on our Mavui is a little bit strange, and there's a doorway on the Mavui, But look, we live in gated communities. It's not, you know, it's, it doesn't require that much of an imagination to understand that there's some sort of doorway to the mavoi. And there's some sort of, well, let me take the doors away for a moment. There's some sort of threshold, meaning there's some sort of recognizable threshold. And in that threshold, there's also some sort of doorway to the threshold. And so now the Gemara is going to explain, assuming everything that we just said, that this is what the Bryce is talking about, and this is where it has the dual identity.
Where does the Lechi go then?
Just wait. Okay. Give it a moment. Give it a moment. V'amarav chama barguya, amarav tocha pesach tzarech lechi day. Skip a little bit, yeah. V'afa agav deleslu lechi. Now the Gemara says, now, this doorway, it has a lechi, presumably, well, the Gemara says it doesn't. V'amarav chama barguya, amarav tocha pesach tzarech lechi acher lahatiro. The Gemara says like this. When we speak about a mavoi, I'm going to take away the doors. So let's say there is a threshold, like over here. So in other words, it's understood that this area over here is, quote unquote, the threshold of the mavoi. Now, because there are side posts over here, this guy is a lechi, as is this guy. Now, we'll learn when we get to Erevin, you really only need one. But that's not the point. The point being is that this is a lechi and this is a lechi. Already, without me doing anything more to this mavoi, I can carry throughout this entire area. No problem whatsoever. However, we're going to learn in Erevin, and the Gemara says it right now, right here, right now. What if I want to carry within this area? Not in the mavoi itself, which is already corrected because it has a lechi, but I want to carry in this area. If I want to carry in this area requires its own lechi. This area is its own independent area, and it requires its own lechi.
How big is
that?
Lechi is nothing. Lechi is just
the area.
How big are those lechis? Is it Dalet Amma?
Yeah. That's a good question. Give me a moment. Okay, that's a very good question. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Chama Berguria Amar Rav Tocha Pesach Tzarech Lecha Acher La'atiro. Now, v'chitema deleis b'hu dalet al dalet. There you go, Aaron. And maybe you want to tell me that this area is not 4x4. Now, when we say 4x4 over here, we mean 4x4 tfachim. Meaning that the area is so narrow. Now, it's certainly wider than 4 tfachim. Meaning you're not going to make an entrance or an exit to a mavui of 4 tfachim wide. But in other words, 4x4 means that both dimensions have to be 4x4. It has to be 4 wide and 4 long. So this is four long, it's just simply not four wide. But then, Rav Chama says that even if it's less than 4x4, that area is an independent area, and it requires its own separate lechi. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Hacha b'iskufas mavu askinan. So now the Gemara is going to offer the following. So again, we're just trying to understand. Assuming that this iskufa, this threshold, is a threshold to a mavoi, which kind of comes out of left field, but fine, so it does. And assuming that the area requires its own lechi, and even if it's less than 4x4, it requires its own lechi, so then what is the Bryce talking about? It has a dual identity? Where if the door is closed, so then it's like the outside, and if the door is open, then it's like the inside. Like, what's going on? So the Gemara offers now two explanations. Explanation number one: Amrav Yehuda Amrav Hachabis Kufas Mavu Yaskinan Chetzia Mekura VeChetzia She'ino Mekura. We're talking about the threshold of a mavui. Half of it has a roof over the top, and half of it does not. Kiruav Kalpe Penim. And the roof is interior. Okay, so I'm going to try to draw this. Give it our best shot.
You got an eraser below.
It's fine. It has a roof over the top, running over the top, but only over the interior of this entrance. So that is going to be our roof. Now, as we learned earlier, as I explained earlier, a kored that goes over the top is a corrector for the mavui. Meaning now that I have a korah, a beam going over the top, so I'm allowed to carry throughout the Mavli.
Even under the cover?
Ah, perfect. Aaron, it's like you're setting me up. Now, when we say you're allowed to carry the Mavli, does that mean even under the Korah as well? And the answer is yes. Why is the answer yes? Because we have a principle known as Pi Tikra Yored Vesose. Because what happens is that the edge of the roof is Yored Vesose and comes and seals off, so to say, the outside. So yeah, you're allowed to carry even up to and under. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. That Shein Makur Vekuriv Kape Pnim Pesach Pasuach. So now, if the doorway is open, Kilif Nim, so then that area is interior. When we say that area, to be even clearer and to be more specific, it means the area under the beam. The area under the beam now is interior. Why? Because all we have is basically a Mavui fixed by a Korah, and you're allowed to carry up to and including under the airspace of the Korah. Great. Pesach na'o. But if the door is closed now, and the door... I'm going to put right over here. And now I'm going to take these doors and I'm going to close them. So now, how is this area now a Rishus HaYachid? It is not functioning through the Korah anymore. It's got doors. It's got a pair of doors that are now literally, physically shutting off that area to the Rishus HaRabim.
Wait, Rabbi, don't the doors have to be inside, on top of that line, going in? Inside.
You would prefer the doors...
Way, yeah, this yeah, way, inside. Underneath the Korah, when they're closed, that thing is a Makom Patur. And so, therefore, right?
Oh, yeah, not about Kapotor, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's the way
therefore, to okay, yeah. You're but correct. I'm with you.
But why would the other area on the other side of the beam be considered a nook?
Well, we'll get to hold on a nook for just a moment. I like your suggestion better.
Way, yeah.
Okay, sounds better what you're saying. Now, if the doors are closed, so I take these doors now and I close the doors now. With the top view, it's really hard to see, so I apologize. But in other words, I take now these doors, so it's not the Korah which is adjusting the Mavui. It's now the doors, which are basically saying you're allowed to carry in here because now, four walls.
Right.
This area over here now is Kalachutz. Right. That now is like, behaves like the outside. So that is now pshat number one. Okay? Took us a little bit to get to this pshat and took a correction on my part. That's pshat number one. Kalachutz. Rav Ashi Amar La'olam B'Skufas Bayis Haskina. Rav Ashi says, can we offer another pshat? But before we do so, let's go to another context. Meaning, you thought that this Bryce was talking about the threshold of a Mavui. Rav Ashi says, no, it's not. It's staying by the house. We're still talking about a house. Ukagon Shakira B'Shtei Karo Shein B'Zuar Ba V'Ein B'Zuar Ba The Ein Bein Zula Zu Shlosha V'Dals Be'em Tzah Pesach Masur Chalafnim Pesach Na'u Kalachutz. You thought the Mavui was complicated. This is even more complicated. Okay, so we're here dealing with a simple house. So this house over here has got a threshold to it. And this threshold has got, interestingly enough, two beams. Okay, it's a... I'm going to deal just with the schematic, and I'm not going to worry about why in the world would someone have a roofed house where it's two beams. And by the way, this beam is three tfachim, this beam is three tfachim, or less more to the
three.
Point,
less than four.
Yeah. Just for the purposes of, here, let's just call each one of these three. And the space between them is less than three.
What do you do with the middle of space?
Now,
right.
And there's a doorway, and hopefully I'm correct about this, let's put the doorway right in the middle.
That is correct.
Okay, fine. Now, what the Gemara now is suggesting, this is Rav Ashi's suggestion over here. Look, if the doorway is open, so let me just remove the door. If the doorway is open, so what do I have over here? I have three, with a little bit of airspace, less than three, plus three. So I now have a beam that really I can look at one unified, one solid mass. How do I look at it as one solid mass? We have a principle, it's called love.
Right.
The principle of love, it basically says that anything that's within three tefachim of one another is connected to each other. Not that long ago, we were sitting in our sukkah. So in our sukkah, once I have any two pieces of material that are close to one another, they are as if they are connected. Right? What a number of people do is that they put strings, one next to another, next to another. As long as within 9 to 12 inches of one another, they're viewed as connected. These beams are therefore viewed as connected. And so what? And so Rashi explains, now that these beams are connected, I have a beam over here, one large beam of, let's call it 6 tefachim, let's even call it 9 tefachim. It's more than 4 tefachim. Anytime you have a beam greater than 4 tefachim, so now pitikra yard visose, the edge of that beam now goes down. I'm trying to now make three dimensions out of this. The edge of the beam goes down, and so therefore this area over here becomes a walled-in area. And part of, and it identifies itself with the house. Once I take the door, and I shut the door, I'm now separating this beam and that beam.
Right.
Once I separate this beam and that beam, now I have a beam of 3 tefachim, and now here I have a beam of 3 tefachim, and so therefore, we do not say pitikra yard v'sosim, and therefore this area underneath here identifies with the outside. Now, if I... Okay.
But you could speak like a makampadra or a karmelit, no?
Huh?
But it could still be like a makampadra or a karmelit.
It could be like that. In other words, depending on what size we're talking about, yes, absolutely. But in other words, but at this point in time, though, it identifies with the house. Okay, so we have A. The last point... I'm sorry, second to last point of the Braisa, describing this Iskufa, which has a dual identity. So we now offer two pshatim in terms of what this Braisa is talking about. Either choice A, we're talking about a Mavui, which has a Korah and a door. When the doorway is open, so now it's the Korah that's providing the correction, and therefore you can go up to the under area of the Korah. And once the door is closed, it's the door that's providing the correction. So now the area under the Korah is like the outside. That's pshat number one. Or pshat number two, we're talking about the house. And the beam with less than 3 tefachim space between them, when the door is open, it's one unified beam. Where now the edge of that beam is going to come down legally, pitikra yored v'sosem, and the door is closed. And now the beams now have been divided. So then we no longer say pitikra yard v'sosem.
How could with the distance being less than 3 tefachim between the two beams?
Right. How could the closing of the door separate the two beams?
No, but how could the door even open and function? I mean, there's not enough space to get through that.
Well, the beams are over. No, the beams are on the top. And the door is underneath the beam. It still bothers me a little bit. I have to be honest with you. I thought you were going to ask me, how come the door closing now divides those two beams? I mean, the beams haven't changed.
The beam have to still exist. Between them, right?
Right. Okay, and the last point, and here we go. Now, let's say you have a threshold that is 10 tefachim high and 4 by 4 tefachim. Okay, that's a funny threshold, right in front of your house. That's not a threshold, that's called an obstacle.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to leapfrog over it? So apparently there are steps going up to this and there are steps going down to it.
But it doesn't qualify as a domain.
So that's exactly right. So that's now exactly the point. So let's say your threshold is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Hareza reshus la'atzma. It's its own reshus. Now, obviously, the Bryce is trying to make a point. Meaning, if all the Bryce is telling us is, you know, the threshold that's 10 by 4 by 4, that's its own domain. We all knew that. What exactly is the point of this last part of the Bryce? Misayil Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Dam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Kol Malkam Shata Motze Beis Rishuyos. If I have two domains, not two different domains, but simply two domains, Vein Rishus Achas, and they're the same. Kigon, for example, Amad Rishus Yachid, Gavol Yod V'Rach Avdalad, meaning I'm in a Rishus Yachid, and there's a pillar in the Rishus Yachid, and it's 10 tefachim high, and it's 4 by 4 tefachim. Aser Lechatef Alav. I can't adjust on it. Meaning, I'm carrying a big load on my back, and I'll say to myself, I really need a breather. I'll put it on this pillar that's 4x4x10. You can't do that. Now, think about this for a moment. You're already in a Rishos HaYachid. You're not transferring. All you're doing is moving it from one Rishos HaYachid to another. Now, yes, it's true that when the Rishos HaYachid is owned by two different people, so then there's a rabbinic prohibition to carry from one to the other unless you make an Eruv. But that's not what we're talking about over here. We're just simply saying that there's a structure within the Rishos HaYachid, and I can't transfer from my Rishos HaYachid to this structure, which is its own domain. Why not? You've got to read the rest of the line. Gzera Mishum Tel Rishos HaRabim. Because if I get into this habit, so I'm going to say to myself, well, I'm in a Rishos HaRabim. You know, often, frequently, when my load has gotten heavy, I've rested it on a pillar in my house. So you know what? I'll do the same thing over here, not realizing that I'm in a Rishos HaRabim, and now when I rested on the pillar, I've just transferred from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. Now, a number of things to discuss over here. Number one, who's carrying in a Rishos HaRabim on Shabbos?
Right.
Meaning, okay, thank you. Right, meaning Rabbi Meir is making a gzera because you never know, you'll be going through Rishos HaRabim and you'll be carrying this load and boom, you're going to be dropping it now on a mound, on a pillar in the Rishos HaRabim, and meanwhile you just transferred.
There's an Eruv. There's a big one.
Well, even if there is an Eruv, you're still not allowed to carry in Rishos HaRabim, and if it's walled around it, then it's no longer Rishos HaRabim. Strange, right? It's just simply strange. Who is carrying anything in the Rishos HaRabim that Rabbi Meir needs to make such a gzera? That's challenging. Now, maybe the person's carrying in the Rishos HaRabim less than 4 amos. Perhaps. Controversy. It's controversial if you are allowed to. Meaning, if you didn't travel 4 amos, you're certainly not liable min haTorah. That's a given. But what if I just simply want to carry 3 amos in a Rishos HaRabim? Am I allowed to do that? L'chatchila. Is there any rabbinic prohibition? Interestingly enough, the Gemara never really mentions that there is a rabbinic prohibition to carry less than 4 amos. Intuitively, one could imagine that the rabbis would make such a gzera, but no such gzera is recorded in the Gemara. So perhaps what Rav Meir is talking about is the person who's carrying 3 amos in a Rishos HaRabim. That's a little bit strange. How often does that happen that Rav Meir needs to make such a gzera? So that's point number one to consider. I know I'm not giving clarity on this issue, but it's something to really consider. Another point to consider over here is, and Tosis makes this point, is that, meaning in our house, does that mean that anytime I have an object in my house, I have a coffee table, I have a dresser, meaning if it fits to the dimensions of...
Well, those are ceiling, though.
Well, 4x4, okay.
Take a piano.
Well, whatever. In other words, I have some edifice in my house that now measures to 4x4x10 tefachim, so you mean to tell me that I can't move an item from where I'm standing in my house to that, because of Ramirez Gzera? Like, no one heard. We never heard of that. But meanwhile, the Gemara says he can't do that. So Toso says, Omari, last Tosos on the Amud, Demi Baisla Aliyah Lawasar Ameir, Latalto. Delo Yavol Latalto Bekach Mirshos Rabim La Aliyah. Deminkar Michitsasa, Veloto Inshi. So Tosos basically says, when you're in the confines of your own house, where there are walls around you and there's a roof over your head, you know you're in a Rishos HaYachid. No one needs to tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, this behavior that you're doing in your house, you can't do that in the Rishos HaRabim, like we know. Eladavka tel b'Rishos HaYachid, gazer atu tel b'Rishos HaRabim, deleka mechitzos. This gzera that the Gemara here is describing is only when there are no walls. Now, when Tosu says there are no walls, he can't mean that there are no walls, period. Because if there are no walls, period, then there's no Rishos HaYachid to talk about. It just simply means that, it has to be a Rishos HaYachid similar to a Rishos HaRabim. Meaning like a courtyard. right? The courtyard of your house. Or if you live in a gated community, meaning stepping outside. Stepping outside, you're still in a Rosh HaSayachin, but understood that it's kind of, it's not that apparent. So there, you can't transfer from one Rosh HaSayachin to another Rosh HaSayachin. But in the house itself, Tosfos says, there's no such gezeira, as the Gemara over here lays out.
But if you're within Rabbi Meir, this within Rosh HaRabbi, these dimensions, they don't qualify for its own domain to be like either like a Carmelite or Rosh HaRabbi within the public domain, because it's
within a public domain, it would be Rosh HaRabbi.
So what is Rabbi Meir?
Rabbi Meir is saying that even when you're in a private domain,
I'm saying. What is the concern that even in your public domain, with this entity sitting in front of you, like, you couldn't put anything on it because it's a chapter?
You're not transferring to another domain. All you're doing is transferring from one Rosh HaSayachin to another, which is fine. What Rav Meir is concerned about is that if you get used to that kind of behavior, so now the next time you're in the Rosh HaSarabim, you're going to transfer to a mound. That's 4x4x10, which you can't do. Let's start the next Mishnah. Okay, and now we begin. Now, when I say we begin, by the way, I'm going to qualify that a little bit. And in other words, we're starting now with the preparations for Shabbos. Although this first mission that we're doing right now, and from here till tomorrow, or do I really mean Sunday? I think I mean Sunday. We are going to discuss preparations. But here this Mishnah does not talk about Friday afternoon preparation, although today is Friday afternoon. We're talking about every day. Lo yeshev adam lefnei ha-sapar, samuch lemincha, achis palo. You know, in the afternoon, there are a lot of things you need to take care of. You like to get a haircut in the afternoon, says the Mishnah, don't do so right before mincha. Or as it's getting close to mincha, until you daven. You know how life works. I mean, in other words, you get involved in one activity, and then another, and then eventually you forgot to daven mincha. Now, that's the correct question. Stay tuned. Gemara's going to discuss that. Now, we're not talking about on Erev Shabbos. We're talking about any day of the week. In fact, if you look at Rashi, Achi Yispal, Shema Yishkach, second line of Rashi, Shema Yishkach, Velo Yispal, Vehu, Afilu, Bechol. And Nami, we're talking about during the week. So now we're basically learning about the laws of the afternoon. Not Friday afternoon, every afternoon. Well, not Shabbos afternoon, you're not going to get a haircut on Shabbos afternoon, but you understand. So what's it doing here? Meaning, the first Mishnah was a little bit random, but that was talking about Hilcha Shabbos. This Mishnah belongs in Masechta Brachos, probably in the fourth Perek. Or maybe fifth. But in other words, somewhere around that area. The Hadidni Hachi Rashi continues and he writes, and why is it here? Mishum Dadamila Hadidni Gaba lo Yetza Chai Bamachto. Erev Shabbos. Im Chashecha Shem Yishkach V'yetza Mishtachshach. Because the language of this Mishnah is really similar to the Mishnah coming up on Daf Yud Aleph. That would be Sunday's Daf. And so therefore, Rav Yehuda Hanasi stuck it in over here because of its similarity. He realized that Mishnayos were meant to be committed to memory, so once you have a link, a memory link, so therefore it fits over here, belongs over here. So the Mishnah says that in the afternoon, don't get a haircut, because you may forget to daven mincha, so first daven mincha, and then get your haircut. And other activities that you shouldn't do in the afternoon, because you may forget to daven mincha. Don't go to the shvitz. Don't go to the tannery to check on how your leathers are doing. Don't eat, and don't sit down in judgment. Right? Meaning, Beisdin, that is. And now, if you started any of these activities, you shouldn't have, but once you started, don't stop. Mafsikin likros kriyashma, v'im mafsikin latfila. However, you gotta look at things in perspective. Meaning, for kriyashma, there you gotta stop. The saying of Kriya Shema twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Davening is a mitzvah d'rabanan, although what I just said is controversial. The Rambam is of the opinion that davening is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But right now, with respect to the Rambam, let me just stick with my davening is a mitzvah d'rabanan. Okay? And so, if you started these activities for Shema, which is a mitzvah daraisa, you got to stop what you're doing. For davening, which is a mitzvah derabanan, it's okay. Now, when I say it's okay, that does not mean that you can ignore davening. It just simply means that, assuming that there's time remaining, and assuming that you will daven, so you don't have to stop right now in your activity.
Is this right now?
We're still just talking about mincha. But we're just talking about mincha.
So
now,
what is he adding by in Mafsikin Tefillah? He just said so before. In his Tefillah.
Well, I think the basic point was for Shema. It was to make the distinction between Shema versus Tefillah. Okay. And the Gemara is also going to be bothered by the repetition. Hai Samucha Mincha. Now, Ben's question. The Gemara's first question. There are two minchas in the afternoon. There's what's called Mincha Gedola, Mincha Ketana. Mincha Gedola starts at 12:30, again, a perfect day. Assuming the day starts at 6 and ends at 6. And so that means that high noon is high noon. So now Mincha Gedola starts at 12:30. Mincha Ketana that day starts at 3:30. Which mincha is our Mishnah making reference to? So Ilem Mincha Gedola, Milo, Haika, Shas, Bayam. Now, if we're already saying at 12:30, don't get a haircut. 12:30, like, what kind of haircut are you getting? Right, even if you're making an appointment, like, yeah, really, okay, and so the Gemara says I can't imagine. So let's say it's 3:30 in the afternoon. All right, I mean, you're talking still 2.5 hours between Mincha Ketana and sunset. Now, Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that when you get to this later time in the day, you're at 3:30 in the afternoon, Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that you can't taste anything until you daven mincha. Now, this statement to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, you have to understand, And I say this with the utmost respect. He's an Amora. Meaning, if you're going to challenge our Mishnah, you can challenge the Mishnah from another Mishnah. You want to challenge the Mishnah from a Braisa. But Rav Yeshua ben Levi is an Amora, and it's fascinating that the Gemara is pitting Rav Yeshua ben Levi against our Mishnah, or against our interpretation of the Mishnah. Okay. So it's certainly interesting. But lo la'olam samach lamincha gedola. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back to our original proposal. Really, we're talking about Mincha Gedola. So already 12:30, you shouldn't be sitting down for a haircut. 12:30. Uvetasporas ben el asha. And the Gemara says, we're not just talking about any haircut, we're talking about a real serious haircut. The haircut of ben el asha. Rashi says he was a chasno sharebi haya, upazir maoslom, tasporas shokoen gado. Rashi quotes the Gemara Nadarim. Interesting character, right? The father-in-law of Rebbe, he spent a lot of money to learn how to get a Kohen Gadol type haircut. Kohen Gadol type haircut, what is that? Shayim esaper kol rosha v'lo legamri ela meniach kol asaros ksas kedei shiye rosha shol zeh b'tzad ikar shol zeh. Where the haircut, it was kind of like a crew cut, it was a short haircut, where the edge of every hair went to the follicle of the adjoining hair. Okay, and it took a while to get such a haircut. And when I say a while, we're talking somewhere in the ballpark of 5.5 hours. It's strange, and I'll be the first to admit, it's strange that the Mishnah is bringing a ruling for this type of haircut. Meaning that our Mishnah is discussing, you know, if you go for this type of haircut, so you really shouldn't get a haircut at 12:30 in the afternoon. Like, For a Mishnah to codify like that, it's a little bit strange. V'lo l'merchatz, l'kula milsa d'merchatz. And when we say the shvitz, we mean the whole process. Meaning not just the act of going into the bathhouse, but all the prep, the toweling off, and all the other activities that I really don't even know what I'm talking about. And v'lo l'borsiki, you can't go to the tannery, l'borsiki gedola. We're talking about a large tannery, where basically it's your manufacturing plant. And once you get in there, once you go in there, you're going to get lost in there. V'lo la'achol basuda gedola, we're talking about eating a big meal. V'lo la'din b'tchilas din. And when we say judgment, we mean not the end of the judgment, we're talking about the beginning of the judgment. Now, okay, so that's one explanation. Okay, so the first explanation basically says, the Mishnah is talking about Mincha Gedola, and it basically means big projects. Big haircut, big tannery, big meal, big judgment case. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. And Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, who says that you're not allowed to eat anything, not even a snack, he's talking about Mincha Ketana. Okay, that is pshat number one. We're going to go through pshat number two quickly. Rav Acher ben Yaakov amar lo olam betasporos didan lechatchila amaylo yeshev gzer shem isha be'azog. So Rav Acher ben Yaakov will suggest similar. Our Mishnah is talking about Mincha Gedola. What's the issue? Regular haircut. Really, 12:30, you can't get a regular haircut? So the Gemara says, yeah. Because what happens, you're going to go to the barber, he's going to start cutting your hair, and the scissors break. Don't go anywhere, just stay here for a moment, I'm going to fix the scissors. It'll just take a minute. You know where that's going to go. Going to the Schwitz, you're going to... You may faint. And even if you're not going to your manufacturing plant, and even if it's a small little project, but you're going to see the leather, you're going to see how it's going, and you're going to be like, oh no, that's how it's going? Let me. You step right in, you're going to get lost in time. Because a little meal, you never know how a little meal can turn into a big meal. And even if you're at the closing arguments of the sentencing, nevertheless, you never know, a new argument can come about, and you're going to get lost in judgment. So good. Presumably. Okay, so that is... So in other words, the Gemara maintains the position of Yeshua ben Levi, that as it gets later in the afternoon, you shouldn't eat anything. And then our Mishnah is talking about Mincha Gedola, either pshat number one, we're talking about big projects, or pshat number two, there are little projects that could turn into big projects.